Well, Van Gogh was one of the most creative geniuses that the art world has ever known. And it's legendary that Van Gogh suffered from mental illness. But the link between mental illness and creativity is far less clear than we would like to think. Van Gogh has this myth around him that somehow his mental illness was a major driver of his creativity. But the more recent understandings of the link suggest that this is actually not necessarily the case. In Van Gogh's case, it was clear that he was most productive at the times when he was actually well. And at the times that he was very unwell, he was really unable to create at all. And we know that people who have some mental health disorders have a very subtly increased likelihood of being creative. And the only psychiatric disorder which has this association of increased creativity is bipolar disorder. This isn't really well established for many other psychiatric disorders. But what's very interesting, there's a fabulous study done in Sweden where they looked at the whole population of Sweden and they looked at the link between creativity and mental illness. And that's really what they found. There was no link between mental illness and creativity for all illnesses except bipolar disorder, where there was a subtly increased likelihood that you're going to be creative. But the really interesting bit, the kicker, was that in family members of people who had bipolar disorder, first-degree relatives, those people who themselves had no illness were much more creative than the general population. So a little bit of whatever increases your vulnerability to developing bipolar disorder seems to drive creativity. Too much of it increases your risk of becoming unwell. And that I think, is a very interesting story.
So in that theory, Vincent van Gogh's brother should have been the creative one.
Well, that is a very interesting thought. I mean, he was in the art business. He was an art dealer. And maybe he was just not gifted with the talents that Vincent had, which allowed him to go on to be the legend that he is. But he still had the inspiration and the passion for art, which made him become a dealer.
Do you think that Vincent van Gogh would have been as famous as he is today if he hadn't cut off his ear?
That is a really, really interesting question. And the answer is probably not. There's no question that the mythology and the story makes a massive difference. When a painting or a artist gets into the popular consciousness, it's much more likely to become iconic. So, for example, the Mona Lisa was a lesser-known work until it was stolen. It was only when it was stolen about a century ago, it became very, very famous, and it now is an icon of Western art. So there's always an element of chance involved. I don't think you can look at Vincent's work now and not be impressed by his genius, but his notoriety because of his tragedies that he went through may well have contributed towards his fame.
Do you think it's possible, sitting in this day and age, with the knowledge that you in particular have, to diagnose people from the past with mental illness correctly?
Not reliably, no. I mean, one can have a suspicion. The truth is it's actually quite hard to diagnose and be clear about mental illnesses even now. And we don't have blood tests that allow you to do this reliably. And two clinicians can disagree and diagnoses can change over time, even today. So historically, where you may not have access to the information that you require to make a diagnosis, one cannot do this with any confidence. So if you look at the historical record about Van Gogh, people have speculated around all manner of illnesses. So bipolar disorder is probably at the top of the pile of the diagnoses that he's thought to have had. He probably was initially thought to have epilepsy, but then the historical concept of epilepsy is quite different to the way we would see it today. Some authors have thought that he might have had a bizarre metabolic disorder, which caused some of his symptoms. Some people thought that he might have had poisoning from overuse of absinthe, which we know he overused, as well as camphor, which we know he took for insomnia, but also can cause epilepsy. So there's a lot of uncertainty in the historical record, and it's very hard to interpret his letters and make diagnoses because, as you know, he was communicating with Theo in most of his letters, And much of what he communicated to Theo may not have necessarily accurately reflected what he thought or felt or experienced. And much of what he experienced, he may not have reported.
Some people even say that he was autistic.
Absolutely, and I've heard that one too. He certainly struggled a bit in relationships. He didn't make the best relationship decisions. And he was unquestionably preoccupied with one thing, which people with autism often are. So it's entirely possible that he might have had a bit of autism as well. We can't know this for sure 150 years later. One can only speculate.
Do you have any other examples of famous people that have been posthumously diagnosed with a mental illness?
Well, I think the first thing to say is there are many, many examples of artists. Virginia Woolf, there are many, many examples of famous artists and people in the creative industries who have had mental illness. But it's also true that there are many, many, if not more, examples of famous artists who lived charmed lives. Matisse lived a charmed life. There's no evidence that Picasso had any significant mental illness. Many of the greatest creative geniuses had no problems at all. And again, this is the message that is important to understand, that he might have been vulnerable to mental illness, but it wasn't mental illness that made him a great artist. His genius made him a great artist. And his mental illness, when it expressed itself, curtailed his artistic creativity, most tragically through suicide.
Yeah, it put him on the map, didn't it?
It certainly did.
So basically, to become a good artist, you have to have a bipolar family member, which probably predisposes you for an understanding of the extreme that you can then express in your art form. And if you then cut off your ear or another limb, you're there.
I think what nature gives great artists is, apart from the ability to translate what their eye sees into a line, but it gives them the ability to see below the surface, to see things that other people don't see. They can see associations, patterns, meanings that you and I can't see. You can see this beautifully in the way that surrealist art expresses itself. And even in Vincent, he looks at the tree and he sees colors that you wouldn't see. Yet when he expresses them, they just look right. He sees patterns that you and I wouldn't see. But he's able to distill these and express them in a way that captures the essence of what he's trying to express. And this is where the whole experience is seen. So a little bit of the ability to see the unusual, to see what other people don't see, you can imagine being very, very helpful to you. But if you have too much of that, it's not hard to imagine that one could lose contact with reality. And so a little bit of what makes you very talented is good for you, but too much of it, and certainly too much of it when things in your life go wrong. For example, you, in Van Gogh's case, drank too much absinthe or had major losses, he can decompensate, which sadly happened to him.